In an increasingly global society, the ability to speak two languages can unlock opportunities and give you a leg up in a competitive job market. Up next on Teaching Gwinnett, how Gwinnett County Public Schools' groundbreaking dual language immersion program is teaching students to be bilingual, how COVID-19 has affected the program, and what's new in year 7 of the dual language immersion program. All that and more is next on Teaching Gwinnett. Welcome to another edition of Teaching Gwinnett, a Gwinnett County Public Schools podcast. I'm your host, Bernard Watson, and on today's show, I'm joined by Dr. John Valentine, Gwinnett County Public Schools Director of Foreign Language. He stopped by to talk about GCPS's innovative and groundbreaking dual language immersion program. John, welcome. Let's start with the basics. For people who don't know, can you explain what dual language immersion is and how it works?
Dual language immersion is an umbrella term that's used for a lot of different programs that are like this, but it's really become the research-based term for this concept of teaching students at a very young age content in a target language. If you're a dual language immersion student, you don't have one teacher. You have two teachers. You have a morning teacher and an afternoon teacher. So you and your 26 friends that are sitting in the kindergarten classroom, for the morning teacher, you will have a teacher that speaks to you only in French. She never speaks English to you. In fact, you don't even know she can speak English. She will teach you mathematics, science, and French, how to read and write in French, French language arts. Then at lunch, you'll go with your friends to lunch. But when you come back from lunch, you don't go back to her class. You go to your English side teacher's class, where you'll learn social studies, you'll learn English language arts, and you'll do what we call bridging, which is relearning a little bit, maybe some basic terms of mathematics or some other things that were done on the other side, just so you can know those terms in English. And that's what elementary school looks like for you, from kindergarten all the way up through fifth grade. It's a two-teacher model, a morning teacher and an afternoon teacher. And it's 50-50. Half the day you're in one language, the other half the day you're in the other language.
Right now we have 9 elementary schools involved in the program, and then this year 3 middle schools that came on board. Now, that's an exciting development.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And when we started this back in 2013, we did the research, we knew we were going to launch these programs, we started onboarding these first 3 schools back in 2013. We were counting the years for middle school, and we've been working a long time to get the middle school model right. You look across the country, and different systems do different things with middle school. We knew one of our goals for middle school had to be retention. We had to make sure that this program was a success and that parents and students would decide they wanted to continue it in middle school. We're really excited to say, first of all, that we met that target. In fact, we have an average of about 85% retention from the elementary school program to the middle school. That 85% is the highest number I've ever heard of nationwide of retention from elementary to middle. So yeah, you're right. We have our students from Annistown who've moved on to Shiloh Middle School. Bethesda Elementary have moved to Sweetwater Middle School, and Tripp Elementary are now at Bay Creek Middle School. I do want to point out, though, the middle school model works a little bit differently. If an elementary school, it's a 50-50, half day, two-teacher model, morning teacher, afternoon teacher. And we're not teaching the language in elementary school. We're teaching content. So we're teaching math, science, target language literacy half the day. The other half the day on the English side, we're doing social studies, English language arts, and bridging. In middle school, we're no longer teaching the language through content. Middle school is the big pivot year for us. Your students are now, the focus is how do students take this language and make it about who they are, start using the language in a naturalistic way to talk about big themes, big ideas, just like any middle school student does. So we have courses that we've developed, brand new courses that we wrote and we work with the state to have created that are being taught in Gwinnett County. So the first course is called Advanced Language and Literacy. It's taught entirely in the target language. Our DLI students are automatically enrolled in that course when they hit middle school. And the focus of that course is exactly that. It's to get them to start talking about, thinking about, writing about these advanced themes that you would see like on an AP exam or an IB exam, because that's the goal. These students will take the IB test or the AP test, depending on their school, when they get to 10th grade, which is pretty early for a student. But we got to get them ready. So We also have these students coming out of elementary school where they've never really been taught language form. They sound very fluent. And to an untrained ear, they sound like they're completely fluent and they speak perfect French or Spanish or someday it'll be Korean. But it's a little messy right now, so we're going to teach them to be more precise with their language. So that's the idea here is precision, preparation for the AP exam, and pivoting them out of this content-based environment into a middle school environment. But we wanted to give them more than just one course at the middle school. So students have the option of taking two optional semester-long courses. The first is called Culture and History. And that course is well aligned to what's being done in the social studies classroom. So let's say in regular social studies, they go off and they're learning about the American Civil War. Well, in the Spanish class, maybe they learn about the Spanish Civil War. So it gives them that connection and they do that discussion in French. The other course is called media literacy, where they, you know, they watch movies, they watch TV shows, they listen to music, they interact online. It's the idea of being able to become a media literate user of language as well. So why do we have these separate courses and why aren't they all, why don't students have to take all of them? Well, we want to give students the option as well to venture outside of DLI to some degree into things like, let's say they want to take art or they want to take music or they want to take band. We don't want to take that away from them because this period of middle school is about exploration, really building different intelligences. So all students in DLI will take the Advanced Language and Literacy course, and then they have the option of one or both of the other two courses as well. So conceivably, students can still have up to a third of their courses in middle school in DLI, and then they can sort of, you know, make the decision whether they want to take them all or they want to take a couple of them, so that they can make other choices as well to give them that well-rounded education.
Why Spanish, French, and Korean?
Well, first of all, let's look at what makes sense for Gwinnett County. The dual language immersion program in Gwinnett County Public Schools is a Gwinnett County Public Schools program. We went and collected all the data. We did research. We visited all the schools we could across the country. And what we came back with is we said, yeah, this is something that makes sense for our students. It makes sense for our families. In fact, it's something that is an innovation in public education that we think would fit well in Gwinnett County Public Schools. But one of the things I love about working here is that we are a slow and steady wins the race school system. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's put it in place. Let's implement it well. Let's measure it. Let's look at that data and let's go back and refine the system. And that's what we've done with our dual language immersion program. And then we had to say what languages make sense. Well, first we looked at our primary home languages other than English. So these are what we call our floats. The number one float in Gwinnett County is Spanish. So Spanish makes sense for Gwinnett County. And then Korean is an interesting model as well because we are one of the few school systems in the country, I argue, that could pull Korean off. Because we have a very large Korean population in Gwinnett County, and there aren't a lot of large Korean populations in systems throughout the country. In fact, I think we're one of only 12 Korean DLI programs in public schools in the entire nation. We know there's one in Fairfax County, and most of them are out in California. But what we have here is we've got a very strong, very supportive Korean family population with young kids who really want to see this as an option for their students. And when we started looking for teachers, we thought, oh man, where are we going to find, first of all, good teachers? Because I never want to put a teacher in front of a kid in a family that isn't a good teacher and happens to be a great teacher of our AKS, our curriculum. Oh, and just happens to be a native or heritage speaker of Korean. And lo and behold, we had a lot of folks already working in our system at other schools who happened to be Korean teachers who jumped at the opportunity. So both of those languages made sense. And French as well. We have a very large number of folks from the Caribbean here in Gwinnett County Public Schools. And French has a special place in the state of Georgia. I like to use the example of healthcare. If you're going to go to work, for example, at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the number one language of competitive advantage to work there is French. And it doesn't have anything to do with France. It has to do with the countries in Africa that were former colonies of France. So we have a huge amount of native French speakers from the Caribbean, from Africa, even some from France, here in Gwinnett County. And these are languages that made sense for the community. And from my perspective, I knew we could find teachers.
So is that the challenge when you talk about expanding programs like this, finding enough qualified teachers?
There are multiple challenges in dual language immersion. So the first challenge is teachers. Do we find good quality teachers like I said before, I never want to put a teacher in front of a family just because we had to find somebody who spoke the language. So this is where when folks will call and say, can we expand? I say, look, let's be slow about this. We are at a place right now where we know that every single teacher we've hired is a high-quality teacher in front of our students. But what does that bode? You know, how does that bode for the future? We have a process right now in Gwinnett County where we call it hashtag homegrown DLI, where we are building our own DLI teachers from our own ranks of actually high school students. We are working with Berkmar High School and Meadow Creek High School. We meet with students there. We have high school students that we expose to these programs who are native speakers of language. We get them excited about the program. Those students then go off into the colleges and come right back to Gwinnett. And in fact, this year we have 12 student teachers from Georgia Gwinnett College and Georgia State University who are student teaching and only chose these student teaching positions because they want to someday be dual language immersion teachers. So as far as the challenge of finding teachers is concerned, my goal when I retire from Gwinnett County in 11, 12 years will be I'd like to leave this system with a tight, solid pipeline. So if any school comes to us and says we'd like to start DLI, I can look at that pipeline and say, makes sense. We've got this many teachers coming up the pipeline. We got them ready to go. We can start a program. So that's the first piece, is finding good quality teachers. The second is, I mean, nobody's trained to do this. If you're a principal, you are trained to be a principal, but you were never trained to be a DLI principal. If you're a teacher, you were trained to be a teacher, you were never trained to be a DLI teacher. So that goes all the way through. You know, if you're me, you were trained to be a foreign language director, but not necessarily a DLI foreign language director. This is a new entity, this idea for a DLI. So the idea is adding that professional development at all levels. And that's what we've done right. This is a district that if it does something, it does it. So everyone has been all in. You know, we've had folks from the counseling department who've taken the time to visit at schools across the country, who've gone to conventions to learn about DLI. Everyone has been all in because I think they see that this is just fundamentally what it is, and that's good for kids.
Do you have a story that you can share about maybe the first time a parent goes to visit one of the schools and they see this all in action, or a response from a parent when they hear their kid speak another language that they may not even be able to speak?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's one of the problems, is one of the things we tell parents when they start in kindergarten is don't do what I call the dance for grandma. Don't bring grandma in the room on a Tuesday night and say, hey, speak some Korean for grandma. The student's not going to do that. The student's not going to react to that. Instead, what we try to do is put things in place where we can see the student and parents can see the students interacting in a natural environment. For example, at conferences, we do our conferences differently. And during our conferences, our parents have the opportunity to witness their student interacting with the target language teacher in the target language. And, you know, there have been a lot of great emotions where a parent will come in and just the student speaking the language and the parent has never seen them do that. And you get the emotions that you think. Another story that we heard recently, one of our employees here in Gwinnett County has had a student in the program who's now in fifth grade. And this was at the French program at TRIP. And they recently went to New York City and they were walking across Rockefeller Center. And the student just stood there, was listening. And walked over to a group of parents and kids and started speaking to the kids in French. Well, the French parents started laughing. And the mother of the GCPS student asked the parents, you know, why is that funny or what's going on? Well, first it was wonderful because the French-speaking parents said, it's amazing, your student speaks excellent French. You should be very proud. So that made the parent happy. But then, of course, the fifth grader, the parents said, but your child just told us all that we don't speak very good French because we're from Canada and we don't speak the proper French. So, you know, apologies to all of my Quebecois friends. You're going to take the salt with the sugar. So, yeah, that's a good story. But it's nice to hear that our students are just themselves, right? What does a fifth grader sound like who's at Rockefeller Center speaking French? That's what they should sound like. That's the things they should talk about. So that was kind of an exciting thing to hear.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Dr. Valentine, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. But when we return, we'll talk about how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the DLI program. Stick around.
Wash your hands! First, you need some soap, then scrub for 20 seconds. If you don't have a clock near you, then sing the ABC song. Be sure to scrub front and back, under your fingernails, and between your fingers. Dry your hands with a clean towel or a paper towel. For more information, go to www.cdc.gov/cleanhands.
And we're back. How has the pandemic affected the dual language immersion program?
We're not sure to what degree it's affected the ability of students to learn. That's something that we'll have to measure. And I think if there's one thing that I kind of regret this year, is that some of those language measures that we'd like to be able to implement, we're not able to do because the language tests that we usually use to test students' proficiency aren't available in this kind of environment. So for those students, what we're going to do is usually next year would not be a language testing year, but it will be for our DLI students. So we're going to put things in place to very quickly be able to get them, to be able to help them push forward from where they are. We had professional development this week with our middle school teachers. First of all, it was just fun because for the first time, we were able to bring a small group of teachers to the ISC, the central office, and do professional development with those teachers. Very small group. Everyone wore a mask. We stayed, far apart. But these were the middle school DLI teachers, and we hadn't really interacted with them one-on-one, face-to-face, in a physical way since the beginning, since last year. And the first thing I asked is, I said, just give me the down and dirty. How do you feel? Are you enjoying this? And they all, every single one of them shook, nodded and said, absolutely. And I said, if you had your druthers, would you go back to what you were doing before? And they said, after we've done this, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to do this. We love these kids. And I asked one teacher, I said, what's your biggest challenge? She said, the biggest challenge is no matter how hard I plan, the kids want to go further. And she said, I'll start a class and they'll be chattering in French. They won't be paying attention. They'll be kids. They're sixth graders. They'll be chattering away in French. And she said, I don't want to stop them. She said, I never had a group of kids that I couldn't get to stop speaking French before. So we're getting some really nice anecdotal evidence that the kids are learning and they're moving forward and they're enjoying it. And the teachers are too.
So what happens once they're done in middle school? How does this work in high school?
So in middle school, they've had this sixth grade class, advanced language and literacy, and they've had those two other additional courses. Seventh and eighth grade, they're going to be taking high school level 3 Carnegie unit foreign language. So the first half they'll do over seventh grade and the second half they'll do in eighth grade. So this is a whole new type of kid. These kids are going to leave middle school with a high school level 3 credit in the target language. When they get to high school, they're going to take level 4. From a proficiency perspective, they might, in high school, be able to take the AP test or the IB exam in ninth grade. From a maturity perspective, just because of the themes on the test, we're going to push it to 10th grade. So our students will be taking IB or the AP exam in 10th grade. And then 11th grade and 12th grade is all about college and career connections. So we're still building that part of the program. But we know some options they'll have. They'll be able to continue on with the language, maybe taking higher level courses in language, maybe pick up a different language at that point. But there are some other things that we're working on, potentially, giving them access to college level courses at that point. But these are things that are still in the works.
So, everyone wants to know, any plans to expand the number of schools in the program as well as additional languages?
Well, it's been announced that we are going to add a 10th elementary school, and that is in the Decula cluster, and it will be Mulberry Elementary, which will start its onboarding, which means training next year, and it will go live in 2022. We don't have any plans right now for additional languages, but really this is about the community and the board. Folks ask me all the time, if I want to get a dual language immersion program started in my community, how do we do that? It's really about the conversation between the community and the principal at that school. And then the principal just takes that to the associate superintendent. It goes to the board, and then the board makes the decision about expansion. We have a goal, though, in my department. We really want to see equity of access. So whenever a new dual language immersion program is put into place, we look at the map of Gwinnett County and we say, where isn't ELI right now? Because we want to make sure that this program, insofar as we can, is provided in such a way that it's accessible to all communities within Gwinnett County. Right now, we don't have any plans for additional languages, but again, if it's something the community sees as valuable, If it's something where we think we can find teachers, then it's something we would consider.
And what language will be at Mulberry?
That's Spanish. So we will then have, we'll have one Spanish, I'm sorry, we'll have one French, one Korean, and then the other eight programs will be Spanish.
Okay. What are you most proud of?
I think it's the degree to which the entire district has embraced DLI at all levels. The thing that I'm most proud of is the teachers. Teaching is hard. It's not an easy job. And if you're going to teach, you've got to be a different kind of human being. Everything hits you harder. You know, you love these kids. You love these kids. They're your kids. You cry when they cry. You know, you love them. And we've never had a DLI teacher quit because they don't want to do DLI. You know, if they quit, it's for all the, you know, maybe they move or they change where they live. It's they see that this works for kids and they see that it's good for kids and they're willing to put the extra hours in. So the hardest thing that I have is how do I support them effectively? You know, you're always racking your brain. How can you better support these teachers? How can you better support these leaders? That's the thing I'm most proud of, probably the two things, are the hard work the teachers do, the hard work the principals do, what's going on in the school, and then the fact that this district is different. This is, you know, I'll give you an example. I was the state director for foreign languages before this. I used to work at the Department of Education. And I had an opportunity to travel all over the country and see some of the best programs out there. There is nowhere to work like Gwinnett County. If we do something, we do it. And from the top down, DLI has been embraced. Every board member from the superintendent's office all the way through has said, if we're going to do this, we do it top down. From day one, we started doing advisory team meetings, and we called in every possible department we thought that might affect a foreign language or a DLI program. And in these advisory team meetings, we have folks that show up from the counseling department. We have folks that show up from the assessment department. Every single person you can imagine comes to these meetings because they want to know, how can we support these schools better?
So we know these programs are super popular. If I'm interested in enrolling my student in the program, how do I go about it?
We will be putting out information in late February, early March. You can just go on the GCPS website. There will be a lot of information about registration for DLI. Folks can also call my office, of course. My office's phone number is 678-301-7308. But just keep an eye out. We have a great communications department, so... thank you, Bernard. Thank you to everyone in your department who makes sure that folks know about these programs. Again, it's top down. This district is behind DLI, and there's nowhere else in the country I'd rather work.
All right, Dr. Valentine, thank you so much for stopping by. I can't let you go quite yet. We're going to take one last break, but when we come back, we'll have another edition of Did You Know?
The best way to protect yourself from 2019 novel coronavirus is to avoid being exposed to the virus. Additionally, there are preventative actions that you can take to protect yourself and your family from the spread of respiratory viruses that can make you sick. These include stay home if you're sick, cover your cough, and wash your hands.
Welcome back. It's time for my favorite part of the show called Did You Know? Did You Know is a series of multiple choice and or true or false questions about the school district. The hope is at the end of Did You Know, our listeners will have learned some interesting facts. Are you ready, Dr. Valentine?
I'm not going to like this.
Are you ready, though?
Okay, I guess. Yeah, okay, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. How many buses does GCPS have in its fleet? A, 1,980, B, 1,460, or C, 2,009?
Oh, man, I'm a teacher. I wrote multiple choice questions forever. So I'm going to go with B. B's always the good, safe answer. B, it's B. No!
Actually, it's A.
That can't be right.
Gwinnett County Public Schools has 1,980 school buses.
I check that answer. I'm no. Filing a formal complaint, that's not right. All right, fine.
Question number two. How many types of employees does GCPS employ?
Two. Those who teach and those who support those who teach.
Excellent. That's correct.
And that gets my paychecks out. That's good.
And here's the final question, Dr. Valentine. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's the hardest one yet. So if you need a few minutes,
no.
Need something to drink, you need to
yeah.
call somebody for help.
Go for a walk. Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather forget your partner's birthday or your anniversary every year?
See, I've done the anniversary. I'm going to say anniversary. Birthday's more dangerous. So yeah, anniversary.
We're going to calculate the results. And you passed.
Yes.
Dr. Valentine, thank you so much for stopping by and pulling back the curtain on our dual language immersion program and letting us know about all the amazing things that are going on right now and the exciting plans for the future.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to you. Thank you to the entire communications department, the superintendent's office. You guys do an amazing job of highlighting the great work going on. So thank you very much, Bernard.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Teaching Gwinnett. You can find us on the GCPS home webpage, Google Play Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and just about anywhere podcasts can be found. Please subscribe. And as always, remember to wash your hands, wear your mask, and stay home when you're sick. Until next time, so long.